Of all the parks, I'm avoiding pretty much all sit-down restaurants in Magic Kingdom.
Hey there, this is LJ, owner and founder of Smart Moms Plan Disney and Smart Moms Travel. Welcome to the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. I wish I could be with you for every episode, but don't worry, I have chosen an awesome host who will be with you each and every week. I love her and I know you will too. Here's Allie.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. I'm your host, Allie, joined today by Carla and Becky. How are you guys?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
Happy to be here as well.
And we are so excited. Today we are talking Disney dining, planning, tips, tricks, the things you don't want to miss, and the things you may want to skip. Disney dining is one of those things that can truly make or break your trip. So we've got all of the helpful information you need to make your planning go smoothly. Ladies, when it comes to Disney dining, how do you approach it? Do you have a strategy you like to follow?
Disney dining is my very favorite thing about Disney. I cannot go to Disney World without having a table service.
Part of that is because we are somewhat local to the parks. So as much as resorts is important to you, Allie, and your family, I think that to get that full Disney experience, I have to have a dining reservation in my day.
Absolutely. So you are both sit downs every day type people?
I'm not a sit down every day because when I go to the parks, it tends to be like on a day by day basis. I'm really only going to the park for the day and coming home, but I definitely either like to start my day with a dining reservation or end it with a dining reservation.
That's interesting because for me, I am a table service in the middle of my day person because I like to escape the heat that is what Florida has to offer. So you could definitely do it in lots of different ways.
Oh, that's so, yeah, that is interesting because for me, I am either breakfast or dinner. I typically, for my family, we skip out on most sit down lunches just because, yes, it's hot, but I like to do resort breaks then or try to focus on inside attractions. I don't like the stop and momentum of my day. So we aren't necessarily always rope dropping. So we'll do a mid-morning breakfast, or if we are rope dropping, maybe an early or even late if we're not focusing on a fireworks show dinner. But it is something that I think really can enhance your trip in so many ways because Disney dining has such a wide range. There's such a variety of different types of food you can sit down with, and honestly, quick service, depending on where you are on Disney property. And then, of course, the hidden gems or not so hidden gems that everyone wants when they go to Disney World, the character dining.
Character dining, that's such a big thing for clients to experience. They don't think that they can go to Disney and not have that one character dining meal, or there's clients that think they need a character dining meal every day. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
I think that the character dining is great for a specific purpose. And if you're coming to Disney for your first time, adding a character meal into your day makes 100% sense because you're going to be feeding your kids, you're going to be getting a rest, and you're going to get to get those signatures and the interaction with characters. But really, when we're talking about getting character dining, those ADRs are so important for character dining.
And for listeners that don't know, ADR stands for Advanced Dining Reservations. Your ADR day is based on when you are traveling to Disney and honestly where you are staying at Disney when you go. And it's 60 days out from your check-in day if you're staying on Disney property in a Disney World hotel, then 60 days from your check-in, covering a full 10 days, you are able to make dining reservations for your whole trip. So it's a huge perk for on-site guests because off-site guests have no dining window priority. So they make dining reservations day by day, 60 days out from the day they wish to dine. So that's a huge advantage to staying on Disney property and one of the value, moderate, or deluxe properties that they have to offer. You get that dining priority window and you can really strategize to get some of the more difficult dining reservations. What are some of the hard to get dinings that you have found in your experience?
I think for sure the character dining, the Chef Mickey's, the Topolino's Terrace, California Grill for the fireworks is hard to get.
Yeah, Cinderella's Royal Table is always going to be hard. One that surprises me isn't as hard. You see it pop up a lot. It's gone quickly on the day it opens, but pops up often is the Beauty and the Beast meal.
Yeah, Be Our Guest is inside Magic Kingdom. And I think the reason that one is available more often than other ones is because there's not a true meet and greet once you're in that meal. So the Beast does walk through the dining room, but you're not stopping and getting the personal attention with him at your table. You're not meeting Belle. And so while he does have an appearance, I think it's a less desired meal because you're not getting the personal attention. And Carla, to your point, the restaurants that you mentioned happen to all be resort dining. And I think it's important that listeners know that some of these restaurants can be found within the parks and some are in resorts. So you may not need a park reservation, or it could be something you plan a late brunch or something with the characters on a down day when you're taking time away from the park. So Topolino's, you mentioned, which is my personal favorite Mickey meal, I'll call it, because you're going to get Mickey and Minnie and Daisy and Donald at that meal. It's at the Riviera Resort. So it's a great option on a down day, or perhaps before your long day at Epcot. Maybe you're going to start there a little late. You're going to hop to Riviera, eat, and then take the Skyliner on into the park. So there are so many awesome ways to strategize your dining, not just around the park you're going to, but with whatever freedom you're building into your trip as well.
I think it's so important that you say to strategize, because it really does take that extra planning to accommodate some of these character meals. Like you said, if you're going to Topolino's for breakfast, are you going to be able to make it to Rope Drop pretty much any park? More than likely, no. So you really have to consider the amount of time that you are spending on these character or any dining sit down meal, because it is absolutely going to take away from your day as a whole.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important to really think about when you want to meet Mickey and the gang and which characters are most important, right? Because you're going to see Mickey and his friends, and that can fluctuate with which friends. You're going to see them at Chef Mickey's at the Contemporary, Topolino's over at the Riviera. Mickey and Pluto do join Lilo and Stitch over at Ohana, which is at the Polynesian Resort. Most of the gang can be found at Tusker House inside Animal Kingdom, and Cape May Cafe over at the Beach Club also has some Mickey friends. So there are lots of different places to meet them and ways to fit it into your personal itinerary. And I don't know that it's necessarily important to think about hitting more than one of those meals in particular, because you're also going to have princess dining at Cinderella's Royal Table inside Magic Kingdom, as well as the restaurant in Norway, which has debatable pronunciation, maybe. Akershus in Norway over at Epcot also has the princesses. So you really got to think about which characters matter to your family and then find out where they are and then figure out how that particular restaurant is going to fit into your vacation.
I also think that when we're thinking about making these ADRs is thinking about your budget as well, because the difference between a quick service meal and sitting down for a character meal versus just a regular ADR at another restaurant is going to play significantly into your budget.
Absolutely, it is. We just took a trip together, the three of us, as well as some of our friends, and we were laughing so much because another princess dining, of course, we went to Storybook Dining at Artist Point over at the Wilderness Lodge, where Snow White and the Evil Queen and Grumpy and Dopey are all there. And the food is phenomenal. The environment is phenomenal. The character interactions were to die for. They were so personal, so wonderful. And we had the best time. I loved it. And we were chuckling because we sat down over at Nomad Lounge in Animal Kingdom, which is just a quick service bar and an appetizer type place. And if you hit it at the right time of day, you can see the character floats that go by, the little water cavalcades in Animal Kingdom. And I was laughing. I was sitting with you, Becky, saying, this is like a hidden character dining.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you're not getting individual interaction with them, but it is a quick service meal and you're seeing characters go by on boats. And, you know, there are just hidden gem spots like that all over Disney property. So speaking of quick service restaurants like Nomad Lounge, do you also have favorite quick service spots that you prioritize in your trip that you like to make sure you hit? Or are you just sort of flying by the seat of your pants and seeing what comes up in your day?
So for me, like, my family likes to hit places that there's a wide variety. For instance, the Land Pavilion in Epcot is such a vast variety in the types of food you can get. I think you can even see that a little bit in the new Connections cafe area in Epcot. Like, they're starting to realize that families need to have variety available, and it works well.
I totally agree. And I think Connections was such a great addition to Epcot and to quick service options. That's actually one of my favorite go-tos. Also, one of my favorite quick service options at Epcot is, what is it called? The
La Cantina.
Those nachos just hit the right spot every single time that I'm at Epcot.
They're delicious. Right when you walk into the Mexican pavilion, it's so delicious. And that's something else. As you were talking about that land pavilion quick service, it reminded me also that there's a Mickey meal in there. So you can eat at Garden Grill and you can meet Mickey. And it's very cool because so many of these Mickey meals, as I'm calling them, they do have different sidekicks. So it's important to figure out who along with him you want to meet, because I know at Garden Grill, you're going to get Chip and Dale, and that's very fun and very exciting. And I think the only meal they appear. And so I think Disney does a great job sort of trying to pique interest that may speak to a lot of different personalities. And there is probably a perfect meal for you and who you want to meet if you're thinking about character dining. And then with Epcot, Carla, as you brought up, I love that pretty much every pavilion in World Showcase is going to have a phenomenal sit-down meal. So pick your palate, right? If you want French cuisine or wood-fired Italian pizza or authentic Mexican inside the pyramid, there is just something that can speak to everyone. And then there's also going to be a fun, easy access, quick service meal.
I agree that eating around World Showcase is probably one of my highlights of Epcot as a whole. So what makes Disney World stand out for me as a collective resort is the wide variety of food and how many restaurants there really are. If you were to sit down and try to name them, I'm sure it would be pages and pages long of actual restaurants.
Absolutely. As we talked a little bit about ADR, those advanced dining reservations, and how important it is, it's because people value the food that they're going to get on property so much that truly 60 days out from your vacation, these reservations are going to be filled up. And so it's important that you know how to strategize and work the Disney dining system. Your day one of dining is somebody that's checking in 10 days before you. It's their 10th day of dining. So some of the really popular dining spots early in your trip are going to be harder to obtain. So if you want something like Space 220, which is the space themed restaurant in Epcot that makes you feel like you're blasting off, leaving Epcot and entering space, it takes you up in the elevator. And then when you get out, all of the windows just look like outer space, and the food and the cocktails. It's a great experience. So much fun. My son absolutely died for it. If you want something like that, where it's not just delicious food, but it's also a full experience, which, let's be real, Disney is all about the experience, then you need to be able to strategize towards the end of your trip for those harder to get spots.
Absolutely. And I think that knowing other secrets, like that Space 220 has a lounge as well. So if you can't make an ADR work for your sit down, maybe you could get added to the list early on to get up there for the lounge.
I have a funny dining story that I just strategized so poorly. My family took a big trip for my dad's 70th birthday, and we were staying at the Polynesian. And I don't know what I was thinking. I think I was just trying to utilize our Disney transportation that we had at our disposal. And it was on our Epcot day that we were having Topolino's breakfast, and we were staying at the Polynesian. We were literally in the building right next to the TTC, which is where you can grab the monorail. And instead of just walking there, we walked all the way to the Polynesian lobby, caught that monorail, rode the resort loop through the Grand Floridian, past Magic Kingdom, through the Contemporary, back to the TTC, which was right by our building, switched monorail lines, got on the Epcot line, rode the monorail to Epcot, got off at the main entrance, entered Epcot. Now, mind you, there are 11 of us, including at the time, 5 kids ages 6 and under, walked all the way through Epcot, through World Showcase, to the Skyliner, where we jumped on the Skyliner and rode it to the Riviera. I was sprinting to get up there, and they were so kind and they were so understanding. And all of that to say, strategy is important. Know where you're going and know how you're going to get there, because we really should have just taken a minivan.
Yes, absolutely. My kids and I play a game around this. Like, I'll give them a challenge. We're staying at this resort and we have to get to this restaurant. What's the best and worst way you can come up with to get from one point to the other point? And the transportation at Disney is amazing, but you can absolutely do it right and do it wrong. And knowing how to navigate that is important with ADRs.
Oh, absolutely. We all went to Storybook Dining that I was mentioning before, right before Magic Kingdom extended hours. It was so perfectly planned. We had a delicious meal, went out to the boat dock, which Wilderness Lodge has the boats to Magic Kingdom, and made it right on over there for fireworks. It was absolutely perfect.
I think this would be a good point to interject that we as Smart Moms agents can certainly help you with all of these planning, including helping you get those ADRs at that 60-day mark.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things I enjoy doing most for clients and that they appreciate probably the most is taking that stress, because I'm telling you what, you're sitting 6 a.m. is when the dining window opens. You're sitting there. Do you use the browser? Do you use the app? You know, is your credit card information going to populate if you stored it in your account? Only if you use your app. And it can be very, very tricky and very overwhelming. And so having somebody that's an expert that doesn't feel overwhelmed by the process is hugely beneficial. So when it comes to dining, we have all of these incredible restaurants. I know we all have our favorites, which we will dive into. But would you say you are more likely to choose resort dining, in park dining, or we have yet to touch on Disney Springs dining, you know, the shopping and eating district at Disney World, Disney Springs?
I would say for me, I am a proponent of resort dining. I love to, and it's probably because I don't get to stay at the resorts as often as I would like. I love to visit the resorts. I love to walk in those doors and smell that Disney smell. My husband thinks that the air at Disney is just, it makes him happier. And I think that they really kind of nail that. And the minute you walk into resort, you feel like you're home. I'm going to the park regardless. So to get that experience either at the start of my day or at the end of my day, and to get to feel like I got to experience that resort, is probably the reason that I opt to dine at the resorts more than I do in the parks.
So coming from me, I have three teenagers, and we've done the rope drop days. And with teenagers, we are past the rope drop days. We are now the sleep in and stay late family. And because of that, I prefer the restaurants in the parks for our park days. Of course, if we're staying somewhere and we can make a resort reservation work for dining, I love a ton of the restaurants that are available in the resorts. But on a day-to-day basis of when I'm visiting the park and knowing that my teenagers are in tow, staying in the parks is the best use of our time.
I love that. And I think I'm going to go with Carla here on resort dining, just because it's no secret among our team and likely our listeners at this point, the resorts are my favorite thing about Disney. So any chance I can step foot in them and experience their dining and experience their atmospheres, I am there. I will say that we do like making at least one trip to Disney Springs every vacation that we go on. And we'll dive a little bit deeper. I'm going to save that for a little later. And I will tell you my favorite meal on all of Disney property. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we will jump right into the sevens.
Okay, everyone, listeners of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast, subscribers, participants, we are so excited. We have something big. Like, I cannot even believe how big this is. Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast is partnering with Smart Moms Plan Disney to give away a deluxe Disney family vacation. We are giving it away to one family. A deluxe vacation, families of up to four will be able to stay at a Disney deluxe property for 3 nights with 4 days of tickets. Have more than four in your family? That's no problem. Families of up to six can stay in a family suite at Art of Animation and still get the 4 days of tickets. This would cost almost $7,500 to go book this trip on your own, and we're going to give it away to one family for free. Free. Also, we're moms here, so we've made it easy to enter. We know that you don't have a lot of time to waste taking forever to enter a contest, so follow the link in our show notes and on all of our social media bios, and entering will be a breeze. There are several ways to enter, and the more you do, the better chances you have of going to visit the mouse on our dime.
Welcome back, everyone. We are going to jump now into our favorite segment, The Sevens, diving deeper into our topic of the day, which of course today is Disney dining. And I have to admit, even though as much as it pains me to say, because, you know, we get great joy out of Disney dining, it has the ability to bring out the most grumpy part of Disney planning. Ladies, let's talk grumpy as it relates to Disney dining.
Ooh, Allie, I get so grumpy when I'm on my app at 60 days before my trip and I can't get my character dining that I wanted.
It happens. It happens so often that the app will glitch or the site will have a mistake and you're refreshing and you're sitting there. And as much as I'd love to say, that's not going to happen to you, it very well could. And it's so frustrating because it's this buildup of it's so important to get your dining early. And it's also one of the biggest reasons to use a travel agent, you know, let somebody else deal with the stress. But gosh, there is nothing more frustrating than that.
So for me, something that makes me grumpy about Disney dining in general is why I love Disney dining. My very first time going to Disney World, I had the dining added to my package, and gone are the days of the Disney dining plan at this
moment. Good point, Becky.
So with that in mind, like, I fell in love with all of these restaurants and now I'm having to shell out the cash over and over and over, where before I could have budgeted for it. Either one, it was free because of the days of the free promos, or I could prepay for my advanced dining reservations knowing that it was built into my budget and I don't have to go in blindly wondering how much I'm going to be swiping my credit card for this meal.
We need the dining plan. We need to be able to experience these restaurants, and I am so grumpy about it.
Me too, right there with you.
Of course, there are programs where you can get dining alerts and score dining later, but I am a planner and I like to see my plans and my itinerary 60 days out. So it's still frustrating when I can't get it that day. And I don't always love that my first morning of the trip, you know, Topolino's is not going to be there. I always have to try to think of it toward the end of my trip, and knowing those strategies is, of course, helpful, but it doesn't mean it's less annoying.
I totally agree, which reminds me of our next dwarf, Doc. So Doc's the pro. Doc knows you might not have gotten that dining reservation at 60 days out, but that's not the end all be all. I can't tell you how many times I am going to the park. You know, if I'm going to the park tomorrow, I look at the dining reservations that are being offered at that time or even the day of. I am finding amazing, amazing options last minute. If you don't get those dining reservations at your 60-day mark, do not fret. There are still opportunities to get them after the fact.
That is such a good point. If you are not such an over planner and you're okay with a little bit of wiggle room and flexibility, you can find dining sitting in your app, just waiting to be eaten up, you know, day of or day before. We were sitting in our resort at our last vacation and there were so many options. We were just scrolling through that maybe weren't there the day before, but boom, there they are. Take our pick of a dining.
Yeah,
app.
Some heavy hitters. I remember seeing California Grill during the fireworks. I remember seeing Topolino's. I mean, these big, hard reservations to get were all available the day of.
And when I was watching the fireworks in Magic Kingdom, I was checking for the next morning and was able to score Cinderella's Royal Table next day.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
Not you hear often. Let's talk a little bit more about our Doc strategy. How many character meals is too many character meals?
For me, I think if you're doing 4 days or less, do not do more than one character meal. You're going to see characters as you're traveling throughout the parks naturally. I think that it can take a big chunk of your time, whether you're having to transport your family to a resort or if you're finding something within it. I think that one character meal is great unless you're there for a week or longer.
I completely agree with that. There are a couple character meals we haven't mentioned yet. One being Winnie the Pooh and Friends over at Crystal Palace inside Magic Kingdom, which is a fun meal. It's very rare character time, maybe ones that you're not going to see all over the place and certainly not together. And then the other one being the Disney Junior character meal that you get at breakfast over at Hollywood Studios. So if you have very little ones, that's a very unique opportunity as well to meet some of those Disney Junior friends that they see on TV and that probably is sparking their love for Disney to begin with. So I think for my family, we will usually allow two if it's a long enough trip, but they're not going to be two that are in the same realm. So what I mean by that is it's probably going to be a princess meal and one other character meal. So we pick the ones that are important that vacation. Now, if this is a one and done vacation, maybe you do have a checklist and you're planning to make mealtimes the time you're going to spend with characters and not wait in line for characters, then maybe you want to toy with more. But it does take a lot of your time and it does take a lot of your money. So you want to weigh the pros and cons.
So Ellie, I wanted to add in, while we're talking about Dock and tips in general, but I actually really love the Crystal Palace meal because of the tie to Winnie the Pooh. But even more than that, I feel like as far as value for the cost, if you time it right, being able to get into the park before the park opens, I have priceless pictures of my girls walking down Main Street when they're not surrounded by a ton of people. And then getting that picture perfect moment walking down Main Street in front of the castle, and then getting to go and have Winnie the Pooh and Tigger come along and meet your kids one-on-one. Those interactions are priceless.
I have heard that the interactions at Crystal Palace are phenomenal, and that those characters really do take the time to spend with your children and give them that one-on-one time that they are looking for.
I hate to be that person. We can head straight into Sneezy with this and talk about reservations that we avoid. like the Sneezy plague. I am just the person that didn't have the best experience at Crystal Palace, but I will say Disney made it right in their very Disney way. I, at the time, had three very little kids. I'm talking 2 1-year-olds and a 4-year-old. And so mealtimes were already a bit stressful. We weren't very good at sitting through a whole meal without sort of losing patience. And where the typical thing that's so wonderful about character meals is they are constantly coming around to the table. You're not having to wait. We were at our meal for so long and not one character came over. And I just kept thinking, what is going on? I see them. I see them in the other area. They're not coming here. My twins were melting down and we were done eating. We were finished with our food. We had not met one character. And I went up to a server. I explained what had happened. She felt awful, wasn't even sure how it happened. And I had never had an experience like that. And they pulled us to the front of the restaurant and one by one had Pooh and the gang come meet us. So they did make it right. It was wonderful. So I can't say it was all a bad experience, obviously, because we did get what we needed, but it just wasn't my favorite overall experience. So I would say that that's one that I personally avoid, even though I feel bad saying it, because Disney did their Disney thing and made it right.
Well, and I think when we're thinking about character dining within Magic Kingdom in and of itself, like Cinderella Royal Table is expensive and really hard to get. If we're talking about Be Our Guest, you're not really getting one-on-one interactions. And so maybe that's my draw to Crystal Palace, is I really feel like it's the best option within Magic Kingdom. And I feel like that interaction, I hate that you had that experience. I really hate that. But you still got your happily ever after.
We did.
in a roundabout way.
And I'll be honest, of all the parks, I'm avoiding pretty much all sit-down restaurants in Magic Kingdom. I think that, I know.
I'm with you.
I think that Disney really lacks great dining options in Magic Kingdom.
Ladies.
I find myself opting for chicken tenders, Casey's, what are those things called?
The mini corn dogs.
The mini corn dogs. I'm not sitting down at Magic Kingdom.
Does it get better than Pecos Bill, Build Your Own Nachos, quick service at Magic Kingdom?
Yes. Skipper Canteen.
It did, but do they have the salad, the queso bar? Is that an option again, or is that still not an option?
I don't actually think that part's back at Pecos Bill, but Becky, I heard you throw out Skipper Canteen. And I will say, I avoid most sit down at Magic Kingdom. I thought it was so bizarre. I've had Cinderella's Royal Table a few times and breakfast there was lovely. It was wonderful. It was a great experience. My daughter, I only had one daughter with me at the time, just loved being in the castle and eating breakfast before our days began. And meeting, that was so wonderful. And princesses are back to Royal Table, so I may give it a try again. But I have to say, we did Royal Table lunch one time, and it was hot as hot can be, Florida heat. And it felt so weird to go up into the castle and it's 100 degrees out and I'm eating prime rib at noon. And it just was not for me. I was not super happy. But Skipper Canteen, I think, is a total hidden gem. It's delicious. It's unique. It's easy to get. And I love it. Plus, it's the spiced sangria.
And the fact that you're eating essentially on the Jungle Cruise, like, humor with your food. Yes, please. And those cheese rolls that you get, if they're on the secret menu, but everybody knows what they are. Every table orders them. They are amazing. Skipper Canteen, I could make a hard argument for, as you need to go there. And my second one in Magic Kingdom is Liberty Tree Tavern. If I was choosing Liberty Tree Tavern versus the character meal that's the same food at Garden Grill in Epcot, Liberty Tree Tavern is affordable. It's all you can eat. You're going to leave with a full belly. Happy people, happy life.
See, that's one of those things that I'm avoiding too. I don't want Thanksgiving at 100 degrees at noon.
I don't either. I'll tell you, I want the ooey gooey toffee cake, but I'm not eating turkey and pot roast or whatever it is. I'm not doing it.
No,
but you have to place that right at dinner time. So listen, hear me out on this. If you're going to place Liberty Tree Tavern, set your dining time right after the fireworks happen, and then you're walking out of the park with a full belly. You just had Thanksgiving dinner, and you're getting these shots of Magic Kingdom under the lights glowing. Like, there's nothing more magical.
You know, unless I'm walking out to the Emporium that's having a Black Friday sale, I don't care. I don't care that it's Thanksgiving dinner. Also, speaking of Magic Kingdom, Allie, you mentioned Spice Sangria at Skipper's. Where is the alcohol for all of us mothers that are tired and maybe just want a glass of wine while we're sitting on Main Street?
I was just about to say, the one thing about Magic Kingdom sit-down dining that makes me very happy is that this is how you can get a cocktail or a glass of wine when you're at Magic Kingdom, is with a sit-down dining reservation. That is the only way you are going to get it, because other than that, it is a dry park. You're not going to have it. Whereas the other parks, you can walk up, get a cocktail. You can't do it at Magic Kingdom. You have to have one of these sit-down reservations. So pick your poison and go for it.
And I get it. I understand why Disney does it. Inevitably, there is some turd out there that has ruined it for everybody. It happens all the time at Epcot. People doing stupid things because of alcohol. But come on, mama needs a glass of wine.
Yeah, I can't argue that. And one other thing that makes me happy about advanced dining reservations, as stressful as they are, once you have your reservations, the stressful part is over. And if you have a travel agent, you never feel the stressful part. And then it's one less thing you have to worry about when you get on your vacation. That part is already planned for you. It's set in stone. You know where your tired and hungry kiddos are going to get their meal. And it is nice. So it's one of those things where even though it's stressful at first, it makes me super happy when I see all of my awesome dining in my app, in my future plans lined up. I actually just did dining for my own spring break trip a couple of days ago. And I love opening my app and just seeing what's coming and knowing that I'm going to eat some of this delicious food and my family's going to be happy.
What'd you pick, Allie, just out of curiosity?
Well, I think this is a good time to tell you my favorite meal, the meal that makes me happiest on Disney property, is at Disney Springs. It is the Boathouse. I love dining with a view. It's right on the water overlooking Saratoga Springs, which is a Disney resort. I love the resort. And it's like a seafood and steakhouse. It is so delicious. My go-to meal there is the crab cake. I think crab cakes are probably one of my favorite foods, and they do it wonderfully. I've also had steak sandwiches there, the steak sliders. They were good. They were not as good as the crab cake, but my absolute favorite food, I promise, I think it's the reason I keep going back to Disney World, is the truffle fries at the Boathouse. Truffle fries at the Boathouse at Disney Springs. I am never happier than when I am sitting out on that dock with a glass of red wine and a bowl of truffle fries. That's me. That's me being happy. I always start our vacation there because I just know we have so much to look forward to ahead of us. And we have it scheduled for our spring break trip. We've had it scheduled for every trip we've ever gone on. I just will never sway. I will not go on a trip and not eat at the Boathouse with my family.
And for all of these reasons, if you are a Smart Moms travel agent listening, today's Hidden Mickey is going to be Boathouse.
So are you going to Disney Springs on your arrival day?
Typically we are. We take a morning flight, or we try to drive in and strategize it so we get there early. We enjoy our resort for a while. Usually we'll hit the pool, if not just a couple of shops, or take a nap if our room is ready. And then we're usually at Disney Springs on arrival day around 4 p.m. or so. We hit up World of Disney. We may buy a new shirt for the trip or something fun and exciting. And then we're hitting the Boathouse and Gideon's Cookies. Get in line at Gideon's Cookies. They're delicious. They're phenomenal. It may be a 4-hour virtual queue. So get in line early and then do your shopping and eating. Hit up your cookie. Get a peanut butter cold brew. brew. And that's a great way to start your Disney vacation.
That sounds like an amazing way to start your vacation. I, being originally a home park girl for Disneyland, struggle with Disney Springs, honestly, because it's kind of out of the way from the park days. However, that being said, there are some things that I have to do when I'm there and some things that I'm absolutely avoiding while I'm there. Chef Art Smith's Homecoming is my favorite restaurant at Disney Springs.
That's so funny. I've not ever had it. I'm dying to try it. It's so crazy that I have not tried it. And I promise the reason I haven't is because I feel like I'm cheating on the boathouse if I book it. But I haven't had it.
Their moonshine flights are to die for. They have this chicken that is like fall off the bone amazing. They have amazing deviled eggs. There's so much to love. And it's right there really close to Boathouse. So I can see why you'd feel like you're cheating on your favorite meal. But
it's like I'm on a date with another meal. I can't do it.
Speaking of dates, that's exactly it. So my husband and I love going on dates to Chef Art Smith. That's our Disney date place.
So ours is the Boathouse, obviously, my wife and I. But I was just thinking, another thing that makes me super happy about Disney dining right now is that, you know, I loaded my trip up with dining, and I am the person that will overload. I book more than I know I'm going to want. So one morning, we're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and on our Animal Kingdom day, I booked a Tusker House breakfast, and then I booked a Sanaa dinner. I don't know, and Sanaa is delicious sit-down dining food at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So I have a park reservation and a resort reservation, and I may end up doing both. But honestly, two is more than I like to do in a day, typically. And I always book more than I know I'm going to want. And on my vacation, I'll scale it back based on how we're feeling. And I'll have a better feel for which meals are going to benefit our family the most. And what I'm loving is that Disney very recently changed their cancellation policy, where it used to be you had to cancel 24 hours in advance of a reservation in order to get your cancellation without a penalty. And now you can do it within 2 hours, 2 hour window. And that's just made a world of difference for my family.
Disney has made a lot of really good changes. One of the things they've always been good at, though, you just brought up Sanaa. And one reason I haven't eaten there yet is because I have severe allergies, food allergies. And that's something that Disney does really, really well, is food allergies. So when you have that mobile check-in that you've brought up, you can put allergies in there and it prompts when you check in. Almost always somebody from the chef's staff, if not the chef himself, him or herself, will come in and check on your allergies if needed. And for me, I have a peanut nut allergy. I have other odd food allergies. And so I always feel so confident in knowing that that's not going to be an issue for me because Disney does it right. And Sanaa is something I've avoided because I have allergies that show up a lot on their menu.
Let's talk a little bit. We talked a lot about resort dining versus park dining. So let's bring Sleepy into the conversation. Which resort or resorts are the best if you're trying to gear your trip and load it up around dining? If you're prioritizing dining, where are you staying?
I think I'm staying anywhere on the monorail loop. I think between the Contemporary, the Polynesian, and Grand Floridian, you have so many great options for both sit-down dining, easy grab and go options, especially at the Polynesian, but also some really special experiences like the Enchanted Rose and Trader Sam's.
Well, that's so true. And I was about to say, I have done food crawls, I guess you could call them, on the monorail more than once. So on an adult trip, I did a monorail bar crawl. We did this lounge at Steakhouse 71, Trader Sam's at the Polynesian, and the Enchanted Rose over at Grand Floridian. And it was so much fun. And then when I had my kiddos with us, we did a dessert crawl. So we just went to each resort and either sat down at a quick service or walked up to their dessert windows and enjoyed a dessert crawl. So using the monorail to experience that dining is so easy. But for me, I would say if I'm planning my trip around dining, I'm definitely staying at the Yacht and Beach Club or the Boardwalk. If you're staying on the Boardwalk area, you have walk-up windows on the Boardwalk itself. There are pizza windows, pretzel windows, tacos, all kinds of like grab-and-go food. Plus, Becky, I know you can relate to this. One of my favorite meals on property, Trattoria Al Forno. It's Italian over at the Boardwalk. I know I said we start most of our trip at the Boathouse, but I guess there are occasions where we're staying in the Boardwalk area and we started at Trattoria instead. I absolutely love the lasagna there. It is so delicious, but I have yet to have a bad meal. And soon they're putting in a brand new restaurant called Cake Bake, which the flagship store is right near where I live. And it's going to be an awesome cafe with desserts. There are ice cream shops. You've got Beaches and Cream, which is probably the best ice cream on property, with the Mickey sink and the mini sink. I mean, it's just so fun. Or you can opt for a nicer meal and eat a steak over at Ale and Compass. So your bases are covered for pretty much any type of food, quick sit down, dessert that you could possibly want. And you are 5 minutes from the International Gateway entrance at Epcot, which, let's be real, Epcot has the greatest food on property.
Allie, I love your choice in choosing those resorts that are right there at the gateway of the back part of Epcot, because it's right where the Skyliner is launching to hit all of those resorts along the way. So whether you're staying at Art of Animation or Pop Century, the Riviera, no matter where you're staying along that Skyliner route, those are so easily accessible from your room, and you can get back to your room without having to worry about all of those complicated situations we talked about with how am I going to get there. If you're on the Skyliner, you're going to have a lot of options.
Those are all good answers. I really think on the monorail loop, on the Skyliner, or obviously I said in my number one, the Holy Grail would be to be on the boardwalk itself. Those are great options. If dining is important to you, you're going to have quick, easy access to so many things. And of course, quick, easy access to Epcot, which, like I said, having all of that different international food to choose from, something we're going to be trying on our next trip is the hibachi over there. Tapan Iro, I think is how you pronounce it. And it's not one that we've eaten at yet. And I cannot wait. I know that they turn the food into Mickey's head while it's cooking. And I think my kids are just going to love it. And I'm really looking forward to it.
That is one of my top Disney restaurants, is that restaurant in Japan. It is phenomenal.
Yeah. And it's one of those ones that we've had before and I've canceled it just because it didn't fit into our plans. And we're really going to try to make it work this time. I can't wait.
I think that it kind of takes us into bashful, which is some things that people are nervous to ask about, right? So how much does Disney dining cost? When I show my clients my video I have from that particular restaurant, Tepanito is how our family says it. I'm sure that's probably wrong, but we love, love, love that restaurant. And people are like, I don't even want to ask how much that restaurant costs. So those are one of those things. But I think if you're looking at table service in general, know that you're at least two times, sometimes three times more expensive than quick service.
Not only that, but you have access to the app, and through the app, you can see every single menu. So if you have your dining reservation set, you can gauge how much that meal is going to cost you. And you can really use that to place it into your budget so that you have a realistic idea of the amount that you're going to spend.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And you really have the opportunity to think about what's important to you. Is it just being fed, or is it having an experience along with it? So one other restaurant that my family will reserve a lot is 50s Primetime Cafe over inside Hollywood Studios. And to be honest, I think the food is pretty subpar. I think it's a bit overrated. However, the experience is very fun. The servers are wonderfully entertaining. They make the experience worth doing, quite honestly. So sometimes you have to really weigh in the value of experience versus food, and what is our priority and what is our goal in planning this reservation.
And I think it's important too to realize that if you're going to Disney, you don't have to do all of these sit-down meals, that you are going to have an amazing and magical time even if you did quick service the whole entire time. I have families that go and they just don't want to devote those dollars and that time to sit-down meals. They would rather be going in the parks all day, and that's totally fine. They are still going to have a great time.
And I think that's our dopey, right? I think that's our silly mistake, is either over or under planning your reservations, or having too many of one type of experience, too many character, things like that. When it comes to dining, less is more. Value your experience, decide which taste your family really wants to experience on the trip, and you can't really go wrong. There are so many awesome options. All right, we are going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hit the lightning lane.
Hey, y'all, it's LJ. Don't forget, go to Smart Moms Plan Disney Podcast on Instagram and tell us what to name my segment. But for this one, the dining segment, I have what I think of as rules for myself. And it reminded me of Walt and how Disney lore says that there are things called laws of Walt. And one of those things that comes to mind, like, it's a law of Walt that Disney always will give away free water. He just said it makes business sense. We don't want people passing out.
So he had a lot of Z's. I have laws of LJ. First law of LJ is ask for your check when you get your food while you're at Disney. Restaurant jail, especially time when you've eaten your food and you have not yet paid for your food. And somehow the check takes like 20 minutes and you're just literally sitting there waiting to pay for your food. That is officially restaurant jail. And I hate it. And I try to stay out of it to the tune of like, I usually get my food and say, can we get the check? So that while I'm eating, they can be gathering up the check. Next law of LJ is no more than one sit down dinner per day. I have made this mistake. This is a learned law. You just view all of these amazing restaurants and you're like, I've got to eat three times a day. But sit down restaurants take so long and the food sits so much heavier than if you were to just grab something quick at a quick service. So I have made it a rule for us that we do only one sit down per day. Okay, another one is no more than one character meal every 3 days. Just because they do take a lot longer. And I am not down for multiple buffets. I wanna sit and have someone bring me food. Okay, another thing, think about where you're gonna be and never plan a reservation that is very far away from where you are. Never make myself drag 5 kids across Disney property in a rush for a reservation. Whatever time I plan to hop, I will not plan that the next meal to have a dining reservation, but the one after that I would. So if I'm at Magic Kingdom in the morning, I would not plan to have lunch at a sit down with a reservation at Hollywood Studios. Okay, here's another law of LJ, and this one is serious, y'all. It has to do with transportation, but I'm telling you in the dining episode because a lot of times you travel for dining. Never take 2 forms of Disney transportation. I limit myself to 1 Disney transportation, okay? You're going to wait, and then you're going to take a little longer, and then you're going to wait, and then take a little longer. It just adds up. So if I'm in a situation where I would need 2 forms of Disney transportation to get anywhere, I just take an Uber. They are inexpensive, and you will save yourself like 90 minutes. So what I mean by that is if I'm at the Poly and I want to get to Riviera, I would not walk from the Poly to the transportation and ticket center and then get on the monorail. I would not ride it to Epcot and then get off and then walk and then take the Skyliner to Riviera. That would be crazy to me. And you're probably with the walk in there, you're probably looking at like a 2-hour investment. Just take a Uber. And good news, in Orlando, you can request an Uber with a car seat in it. Okay, breakfast versus lunch versus dinner. I feel like you want to maximize being in the park before park open. You pay less for breakfast. The food is usually a little bit lighter, not so heavy in your stomach. I think it's easier to get quality protein in the morning because eggs and bacon are so prevalent. So I'm a huge fan of getting breakfast and maximizing that time before the park opens. You can get some really good pictures before with nobody in there or virtually nobody in there. Same with dinner. A lot of times you can book your dinner inside the park very, very late so that you're still there when the park has been closed for quite some time. And you can get some amazing pictures that way. I don't like to try to push my kids to be that hungry at 9 p.m., but I will do a reservation just for dessert and coffee. And we can have that benefit of being able to be walking through the park with nobody there. Incredible pictures. That all said, I do also like lunch for the break of being able to sit down, get some air conditioning, relax. So if I'm going to do breakfast, I do it early. If I'm going to do dinner, I do it late, but I'm more often going to go with lunch and use it as a retreat during the day.
Welcome back, everyone. It's time to hit the lightning lane as it pertains to Disney dining. We have covered so many different topics, types of restaurants. We're going to dive a little deeper. Let's really find the best spots at Disney World. Are you ladies ready?
I'm ready.
What is, both of you, your first pick restaurant at Magic Kingdom?
Skipper Canteen.
Casey's Corner.
One sit down, one quick service. I love it. What is your first pick at Hollywood Studios?
I would say 50s Primetime, but I really do love Brown Derby's Mill.
I love Brown Derby. Hollywood Brown Derby. I don't like to sit in the restaurant, not saying that it's not amazing. I've just never sat in there. I love sitting outside at the lounge. It's a smaller menu, but it's so amazing because you hear the big band music. you're people watching, you're watching everybody go by and having these amazing times. I just love the feel out there.
And that's what I was saying. Do you value the experience? Absolutely. That's one of those things where it's a full to front to back, start to finish experience meal. So for me, for Hollywood Studios, it's Oga's Cantina. I'm not necessarily there for the pork rind charcuterie board, but I'm there for everything else. What about first pick at Epcot?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I have got to go. So I'm not really sit down dining at Epcot. I know that there's some amazing restaurants there, but I would rather hit all the festival booths. So I'm going to say, I think my go-to at Epcot right now is going to be Connections Cafe. I know that that sounds silly, but they have a salad there. And when I'm at Disney at like day three or day four, I am craving something green and something fresh. And I am craving that salad.
And for me, it is the Japan teppanyaki restaurant, the Teppanito. Like, it is fun. It is interactive. It's a great escape from the day, and it's tucked away in the Japan Pavilion, which is just beautiful.
I am going to go with Via Napoli. Pizza in Italy. My whole family can agree on it. It's delicious. It's quick. I love it. We have a great time there. What about first pick at Animal Kingdom?
Yak and Yeti.
I love Yak and Yeti. I think I'm going to go with Satouli Canteen.
Ooh.
I think that honestly, and you guys know that I'm not the biggest fan of Animal Kingdom. I think Animal Kingdom has some of the best food in all the parks.
I agree. I can agree on that.
I think that the flavors are bold there. I think that there's so many options. It's fresh. It's not all about the chicken tenders and French fries. Actually, I'm going to those types of items at all the other parks. I'm really craving something different when I go to Animal Kingdom.
All right. I want your fast answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Which restaurant is for your splurge or date night?
Trattoria.
California Grill.
What is a restaurant you have not been to but you want to try?
I've tried everything I want to try.
Lightning.
How do you say it? Narcosi?
Narcosi's over at Grand Floridian.
Narcosi's.
And I've yet to eat Pavilion or the Italy Pavilion, so I really need to hit that.
Okay. Which restaurant has been your biggest disappointment?
I hate to say it, but Cinderella's Royal Table.
Can I just say all of Magic Kingdom?
Yeah. No, you have to exclude Skipper Canteen.
And I haven't been to Skipper Canteen, but all of Magic Kingdom.
Oh, well, then that can be your want to try, Skipper Canteen.
I do need to try it.
What about your favorite place to get a cocktail?
Steakhouse 71 in the middle of the day. I'm escaping the park. I'm walking over to the Contemporary. I'm smelling the air and I'm sitting in one of those loungy whatever sofas there.
For me, best place to get a cocktail is at the Three Bridges, which is at the Coronado Springs Resort, out over the water, twinkling lights at nighttime.
Gonna go with the Fuzzy Tauntaun in Oga's at Galaxy's Edge in Hollywood Studios, or Trader Sam's at the Polynesian. The drinks are amazing. The drinks all have their own custom glasses, and when you order them, they trigger certain things within the bar itself. And it's
spoiler alert.
It's so fun. I won't tell any more than that. Okay. What is your favorite resort dining meal?
Oh, this one's super easy for me. I know you guys have mentioned it a couple times. It's Sanaa. It is my go-to every trip. I'm going to Animal Kingdom Lodge. I'm going to Sanaa. I'm getting my reservations 30 minutes before the sun sets. It's the most amazing experience. The animals are all up at the glass. I don't know if they're feeding them at that time, if they're going to bed. I am there. I love the flavors. I love the cocktails. I love the whole experience.
And at a resort, I go back to Trattoria. Like, I can't speak high enough about it. It is delicious food. I have eaten there probably 10 times and never had a bad meal. Out on the boardwalk, the night scene is set. It's my favorite.
Yeah, Italian on the boardwalk. It's perfect. I would say mine is Topolino's breakfast over at the Riviera with Mickey and the gang. That's my Mickey meal. Or Steakhouse 71 at the Contemporary for brunch. Bottomless mimosas, avocado toast, seasonal pancakes. It's phenomenal. What about your favorite place at Disney Springs?
So I already said how much I love Chef Art Smith. So I'm going to take a different twist on this and say one that I don't like at Disney Springs that I know people might take my Disney card for. But T-Rex is not my jam. I'm going to avoid T-Rex at Disney Springs. Everything else I think will be great.
I totally agree. I'm not going to Rainforest. I'm not going to T-Rex. By all means, you guys, if you have that huge dinosaur lover and it's their birthday and they need that special attention, take them there. I'm not going there. I'm going to Wine Bar George for brunch or for dinner. I love the atmosphere there. It's laid back, but it, I don't know, you just feel special in there.
And of course, I'm hitting the boathouse. You know what I was thinking is Disneyland has the Blue Bayou, which is inside the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. You can kind of see the pirates' boats. Disney World, to my knowledge, outside of, I guess there is the Mexican Fiesta boat tour in the Mexican Pavilion at Epcot. That's the only attraction dining in Disney World, isn't it?
Living with the Land passes by the Garden Grill, but I don't know that you would say that it's really a part of it.
That's so interesting. You know, we have a teammate and friend that I think would make her dining priority reservation if they merged Carousel of Progress as a dining reservation and had some sort of food experience. I mean, I would not go to it, but we have a friend that would go to it.
There would be a singular person waiting in line for that. Like,
it would be our
Carousel of Progress dining for one would be what that is.
with Pinocchio as the character.
That's true. Which character would you love to see appear at a meal?
Oh, Merida. She has my heart.
I'm hoping that they bring back the Little Mermaid. And wasn't Prince Eric with her at Trattoria?
Oh, yes. Yeah. With Rapunzel and Flynn. Like,
yeah,
that would have been so great to come back.
I am really wanting a Moana meal at the Polynesian. I have no idea where that is. Where is she? Why
that,
is that not?
I mean, that should be at Kona. Like, why is that not a thing?
I don't know why it's not a thing. And listen, I love Lilo and Stitch. I really, really do. And my oldest daughter and my niece adore Stitch. So don't get me wrong. We love that you can meet them at Ohana. Mm-hmm. However, you know, Lilo's big mouth hanging open is a little off-putting. And even my four-year-old daughter was a little, you know, irked by that. And I just would love to see Moana.
That seems logical. She should be there.
And we did go on the Disney Wish this year, which is one of the cruise lines. And they have an Arendelle meal with Anna and Elsa. And my gosh, you guys, that just, I mean, I don't know if it would be impossible to get into, but an Anna and Elsa meal would just be
amazing.
My kids would be over the moon. I think we about covered it. Quick service, great option. Get your quick service orders in early. Try to strategize before you get hangry. You know, I can't sign off without mentioning at least those custom Pop-Tarts over in Toy Story Land at Hollywood Studios. Although they're not my favorite, I know that some consider them just a hidden gem of Disney World. And so there are just so many fun things like that to really think about and consider. Don't let yourself get hangry. Really, really strategize. Pick and choose the meals that are going to suit your family the best. And you can't go wrong.
Completely agree. Disney dining is something that sets Disney completely apart from any other amusement park.
Thanks so much for listening once again to the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. If you are planning, looking at planning, or ready to start planning again, be sure to reach out to your Smart Moms travel agent. If you don't already have one, make sure you hit us up in the link in our bio or in the show notes to get connected with one of our hosts. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts so you're the first to know when a new episode drops, and hit us up on social media. Until next time, we'll see you real soon.